On this week's program, just how much money can the merc with the mouth make the second time around? Some troubling signs in the music industry, and what's the deal with all these video game delays? All this and more as we reach our next stop, the PCC Multiverse.
Don't be alarmed. The quasi-shimmering light before you is a trans-dimensional gateway to other worlds, other voices, other thoughts, and other realities. Up feels like down, and down feels like the number 7 on a Wednesday morning. Don't worry, that quivering, blood-boiling sensation under your eyebrows is all a part of the charm. Welcome to the PCC Multiverse.
And we're back with another episode of the PCC Multiverse. My name is Gerald Glassford from Pop Culture Cosmos and GameSource. We truly appreciate you being part of the broadcast here today. But it wouldn't be a PCC Multiverse without my good friend. He is the man, the myth, the legend behind Humanica Media and Pop Culture Cosmos. You got to check out all of his great stuff today on humanicamedia.com. Also saw Humanica Media on YouTube, Podbean, and also Apple Podcasts. It is Josh Peterson. What's up, man?
Hey. Thank you for getting all of my titles correct. It's usually a problem. I feel like you don't give me the recognition that I deserve. So after each episode, I write down on this whiteboard next to my desk all the things that I can't stand about you. And now I'm starting to erase some. So thank you.
We're only down to 10,006.
Close.
If I somehow manage to get on your Christmas card list, I feel that's a win for me. But it is truly going to be a great episode we have here for you today. Josh and I are going to delve into a little bit more about the music scene. There's a recent death in the music industry that's touched a lot of hearts. He's going to delve into that. Plus, also as well, we're going to be talking about a lot of video game delays were announced this week. What's up with that? And how can it affect your gaming future? We're going to be talking about that and a lot more on today's show. But you know, Josh, well, actually, I think you forgot. This is one of the biggest weekends so far this summer. It is the weekend of Deadpool. And as the Merc with the Mouth is back on screen, he's in theaters all over the place. Deadpool 2 is hitting theaters this weekend. I want to hear your thoughts. Obviously, since you weren't really looking forward to it, maybe it's something that you just weren't really caring about, or was it something that was just maybe just not on your radar, or just, you know, you just plain forgot that this was the weekend for Deadpool 2?
Honestly, to me, I got a little annoyed with Deadpool, not with the movie, but with the fact that, I mean, you know how I feel about movies like that. With, like, we talked about this with The Hangover 2, how, like, 90% of people liked the movie because it was so vulgar and over the top. And you would go outside, you hear like teenagers and little elementary school kids quoting the movie. And because of that, Deadpool just got put on the back burner in my mind. I like the movie. I like the character, but I'm just not as excited about it as I used to be. So I will go see this movie, but it's not like, I mean, with like Solo coming out and like Avengers Infinity War, all these big movies, it's just not something that I was thinking about. It's something I want to see, but it's not something I'm really excited to watch.
I know it's looking to get the record for an opening weekend here domestically for, and also actually worldwide for an R-rated movie, because as you and I both know, it is going to definitely have a lot of NSFW stuff going on. It is going to earn that R rating that it's going to have on there for you. But I tell you right now, I'm expecting some good things. The reviews are kind of all over the place when it comes to Deadpool 2. Some are actually saying it's a little bit better than the original, while a lot of others are saying that it's either at or a little bit, maybe a little bit below what the first one was, because of the fact that they were trying to rehash a lot of the fourth wall and a lot of the gags that they already have done in the first film. So with a lot of critics, that there could be that type of mentality that been there, seen that already with Deadpool. I still think there's enough in the world of Deadpool to actually go see it myself as well. I'm I'm kind of excited for it. I've been kind of looking forward to it as one of my top 10 films this summer to go see. I really think that it will be something that should entertain. Will it be as good as the first? I'm not sure. I have my doubts on that as well, but hopefully I will be pleasantly surprised. Right now, the Metacritic rating is hovering around the 70 mark, which is an okay for a AAA feature that's come out. So I'm expecting some decent things from the actual movie itself. A lot of the jokes may be hit or miss, as always, when it comes to Ryan Reynolds films. But the fact, I think, remains his shtick, Ryan Reynolds' shtick, has been going on for a long time, even before Deadpool. Even before the first Deadpool, he's been doing this type of deadpan, almost fourth wall type humor for a while now. And this Deadpool character that he's helped create has really made the best of what he can do and what he can perform with. It brought out the best in his character. It brought out the best in him as a comedian. So I'm not sure if he's going to be able to hit those same high marks the second time around. But even if that's the case, it's still a movie worth watching.
Oh, right. I mean, I don't think it's not a movie worth watching. Deadpool is a character, basically, the movie version of Deadpool is a character that basically is written for Ryan Reynolds. Nobody else could really play a character like that. You know, I'm excited to see it still. It's hyped so much that, like, I feel like I'm, by the end of this week, I'm not going to need to go see it because I'm going to have heard people talk about it so much. It's just one of those movies to me, and I still want to see it, and I will see it, but it's just, as far as like the hype level goes, it's just not up there for me.
Sometimes when it comes to Deadpool, I think, again, it comes down to what I said with the first one, that the marketing campaign was so well done and so well executed and so humorous and funny along with the trailers that I was worried going in to actually see the actual movie, which actually I waited for until it came out on video. I didn't think it was going to live up to that hype, but the first movie actually did match up to the hype of the excellent promotional campaign and the trailers that came out for it. We have that same situation again, where there has been a stellar promotional campaign and also as well some really strong trailers that you and I have both heard and seen in the movie theaters that a lot of people are laughing to and actually a lot of people are liking on social media. Will that follow up with a solid movie once again? This I'm not so sure about, but even if that's the case, I still think there's going to be enough as far as the relationship between Cable, Deadpool, and the new X-Force that he's trying to guide, and to see them bounce off of each other as far as not only action is concerned, but also as well the jokes that are going to be flying back and forth. I think that there will be enough with Deadpool to at least make it worthwhile for at least one viewing. But I, like you said, I do not think it will have the same kind of footprint that the original did. And that's really hard for virtually any sequel that's ever come out to at least a movie that's been really good with audiences like Deadpool.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool that they are connecting it to the greater X-Men universe and all that. But, you know, again, I think from what I'm understanding, critics are saying it's basically a lot of it is a lot of the first movie, like, you know, same jokes, same gags and stuff like that. So I'm excited to see it. I want it to tie into something bigger. I want to see Deadpool be connected to something bigger than himself, though. And I think that would kind of make me more excited about the character, kind of bring me more into the story to know that he exists in a larger universe.
What if he were to actually get, you know, everything was okay with the Fox Disney merger when it came to their properties and whatnot? And what if in the actual Infinity War Part 2 or whatever it's going to be called, that he just happens to walk onto screen and go right at it tit for tat with Thanos, as far as from a verbal standpoint, seeing Josh Brolin and Ryan Reynolds on the screen in a different format this time around?
That would be cool, but I feel like it would ruin the whole tragic villain they created around Thanos.
I know it would. It would, but at least for 5 minutes, it would be funny.
No, it would be for sure, but it would also, like, I was kind of thinking like a cameo, like if you ever watch the old Justice League cartoons, you see how like Jonah Hex just randomly writes through the screen on certain episodes. Like they'll they'll be floating on a space station. You'll see a guy on a horse just go by in the background. You're like, oh, that's Jonah Hex. I feel like something like that would be cool for Deadpool coming into the MCU. Just have him like, just like a quick nod. Like nobody really acknowledges he's there, but he just kind of walks around and looks at things. And then he walks off screen just so you know he's there. Like that would be cool to me.
Don't pull out the Justice League because you know I got to do my Solomon Grundy. Gonna get you. Gonna get those super friends. I got to throw that out there each and every time.
That was good.
I try that. Yeah. I've been working on that one for a long time since I watched Justice League as a kid. So, but going back to what we were talking about when it comes to Deadpool 2, it is targeted for a huge opening. Will it get the largest opening for an R-rated film? I think it will. But let me ask you this, Josh. Do you think it will actually garner the same type of worldwide box office revenue that the original did? And while you're going to be going ahead and mulling that over, I'm going to tell you it made over $700 million worldwide. I'll get you the exact numbers here in a sec, but $700 million worldwide. Do you think it'll reach that number and go even higher?
Yeah, I think so. I don't see why it wouldn't. Because the same people who went to see the first one are probably going to go see the second one. It's not, you had a very small percentage of like surprised moms and grandmas who took their kids to the movies and came out saying, don't go watch this. Remember that whole like smear campaign that was started after the last one because they didn't know what they were getting into?
Yes. And by the way, it almost earned $800 million. It made about $783 to be exact.
I don't think it's going to make what the first one made just because, and it's not because it's going to be a bad movie, just because people are still going to see Avengers Infinity War, and it's coming out right in the middle of the Infinity War and Han Solo. So I'd be surprised if it made what the first one did, but it's going to get pretty close to it in my predictions.
I think it will get close to it as well. I think the fact, like you said, right on the money, that that it's come out in May, smashed in between. I don't know if Deadpool would like that, but smashed in between Avengers Infinity War and Solo, 2 weeks apart on both ends. That does not spell long-term success for the movie, plus also a lot of good movies coming up in June as well, Ocean's 8, The Incredibles, and so forth, The Incredibles 2, and so forth. I think that's going to hamper its long-term success a little bit as well. So I see it garnering over $600 million, possibly $700 million, but I don't see it going much farther than that. I don't think it will reach the heights of the first movie simply because of the fact that the reviews have been mixed. And I think social media probably will come out in a little while with people actually watching the film and saying, maybe you want to watch this and catch this on video, or maybe watch this when it hits streaming options and so forth. And some will be deterred from actually seeing it maybe 2-3 weeks down the line because Solo will be out. Also, like I said, the movie's in early June as well. So I think it will definitely hit $600 million. $700 million, I think it might. But after that, I don't think it'll reach the same heights of the original. And I think that can be attested to the fact that it's not garnering the same kind of favorable opinion that the first one did.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, it's just coming out in between two big movies. And I know this is one of those ones that's probably not welcome over in China. So has that working against it. But it'll make a lot of money and they'll contemplate making a third one or at least incorporating Deadpool into another movie. So this is not the last that we'll see of Deadpool.
What's interesting to see, though, is that the production budget for this is almost doubled what the original one was. And that's kind of funny because in the first place, Fox had some apprehensions on pulling out all the stops for the original. And I know there were some issues with the production and what the original movie intended to do and intended to show audiences out there, but couldn't because of the lack of funding as compared to what they wanted to do. The production budget, I think, was right around 50 to 60 million at that point in time for the original. Now they're almost doubling it with over $100 million here for this production. So it looks like Deadpool 2 is taking out all the stops on this occasion. And it looks like, at least on the surface, that it's going to have a big first 2 weeks. But later on, a couple weeks from now, as Solo, Ocean's 8, The Incredibles 2 come out, will it see the legs that it needs to in order to be a movie that's more successful than the original. That we're highly skeptical of, but here's to Deadpool for making another movie that's going to entertain audiences one more time. What are your thoughts on Deadpool 2? Are you excited to go see the Merc with the Mouth going up on screen once again? Are you really in tune to what he's going to be doing, and are you looking forward to it? Or are you like Josh, who's maybe a little bit apprehensive in going, maybe it's going to go a little bit later on, or are you really turned off by the Deadpool character? Share us your thoughts, popculturecosmos@yahoo.com. Also as well, popculturecosmos, Humanica Media, and GameSource on Facebook and Twitter as well. We're going to have an awesome episode indeed. We've got so much to talk about. Right after the break, we've got the guys from Topicocalypse sharing their thoughts on the state of YouTube and where it's headed. And then we've got Josh and I talking about, after that, the music industry with a terrible death and what effects the mental health issues might mean in the music industry. He's going to share some thoughts on that here in a little bit. And then after that, video game delays have been running rampant this week. We'll tell you the scorecard on what games got delayed and what that means to you gamers. But right now, we've got a song that was sent over to us by Phil Matthews, aka The Village. This is a track from his latest album, Carnival of Fools. You can get this album today on thevillage.me.uk. That's thevillage.me.uk. And then once again, this is Phil Matthews, aka The Village, and this is Always on Her Mind. And this is the PCC Multiverse.
I saw that girl today, the one you always say. Seems distant, but somehow pretty nice. You know, she said to me that she wants me to be the one to pass on some advice. She wants you, feels she needs you, to be with her all the time. Said she's only feeling lonely, though you think she's feeling fine. You are yes, you're always, you are always on her mind. I wish it could be me, rather than you and she. I've had that feeling for a while. And it's with a heavy heart that I give you the start. To be with her all the time. Said she's lonely, feeling lonely, though you think she's feeling fine. You are always, yes, you're always.
You're listening to the Pop Culture Cosmos.
Nothing's better when grilling your favorite meal than adding some delicious Wheelie Q rubs, seasonings, and gluten-free barbecue sauce. Made with the finest ingredients, Wheelie Q products pack a ton of flavor to your meals, whether it's ribs, chicken, steak, hamburgers, fries, or vegetables. To get your hands on some of these tasty Wheelie Q items, head on over to www.wheeliq.com and a portion of all profits made will go into finding a cure for spinal muscular atrophy. PCC Multiverse listeners, act now and get 15% off your order today just by entering the promo code POD2. That's P-O-D and the number 2 at checkout. For the tastiest food on the grill, nothing's better than Wheelie Q items today at wheeliq.com.
Yeah. Welcome back to the Amber Alert podcast.
For real. You stole a kid. Yeah. So if you see a white Dodge Challenger,
yeah. Better watch
in Westminster.
That. Yeah. All right, guys. So we're back. The original four best buds.
The core four.
The core four best friends are sitting around this table. I am Josh. You guys know that.
I forgot
my name. Hey, for real, when I was in the sixth grade, I, for some reason, wrote John on all my papers for a week. And I didn't realize I was doing it until my teacher called me out on it.
You would have failed anyways, the SATs.
I am not John. My name is Josh, and I'm joined here by Brian Kane, PhD.
Hi, Josh.
It's John, actually. Big dog Jay Lenahan, how you doing, buddy?
Is that my name?
Hi, John.
And
here we go.
Denial.
John Night Sky.
John Night Sky. Sure. We're all Johns tonight. Wait, that sounds bad.
Hey.
This is the Four Johns podcast.
We're all Johns tonight, boys.
The ladies just left.
All right, so it's been a while since Denial has had a...
It's been a while.
Since I... so you have a... You have a topic for us.
I do have a topic.
All right, I want to know, what is your topic?
So with the... tube of you, so we don't get
what
banned off of YouTube. YouTube what?
Oh, YouTube.
Porn,
okay.
Pornhub. Yeah. That's what he's talking about.
So there.
I applied to work for Pornhub, by the way.
They said no.
They said you're too crazy.
No, their offices are not where I would be able to go.
So with YouTube and their wonderful algorithms of advertising.
YouTube or YouTube?
Yeah, those two.
Remember when YouTube put songs and forced you to have it on that iPod?
Oh, yes, we've had this conversation quite a few times.
Awful album. Anyways.
For the starving kids.
For YouTube.
For YouTube. The little play button. What, Josh?
Was this before or after Joshua Tree?
Come again?
John Tree. Was this
before? John Tree. So, they were, you know, they took their advertising monies away from this quote-unquote smaller channels. And they're like, oh, well, there's not enough advertising to go around for all the channels, so blah, 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 blah. Well, I watch a gaming channel on YouTube. They have a couple million, quite more than a couple million subscribers.
Wow, that's a lot.
So last week, I was watching, you know, videos in my downtime, like lunch breaks and stuff like that. And they had 3 to 5 advertisements in each video. Either it's 15 minutes or 30 minutes long. So it would literally cut out 3 to 5 times on every video I watched from this channel. And they're all for Pacific Rim. And
the new movie,
the Pacific. New movie Pacific Rim. Even if I had any inkling of wanting to see that movie to begin with, I don't now. Because it was
Pacific
literally
Rim.
Every single time they would go to commercial, it was that for a week straight. And then it made me realize something else today as I was driving over here to cast these pods.
Ooh, I like that.
They took away all these advertisements and put them on all the bigger channels and just start flooding those videos with those advertisements because they want, ultimately, they want you to go ahead and subscribe for $10 a month to YouTube Red where you don't get any commercials. So, yeah, it's a conspiracy theory against YouTube, but it kind of makes sense. I don't think about it.
I think it's exactly what it is. I don't even think there's a conspiracy. I think that's exactly what they're doing. You should put your ads where the most people are going to see them. So you're going to go to these channels with a million plus subscribers, like you were talking about, because you're going to get more people seeing them.
Yeah, but then, yeah, then you're
so gonna... small channels like ours, they're not going to put ads on ours because we play music that we can't do, but also because we get, you know, maybe 50, 100 people, 300, 400 on your Ralph Garman one, Denial. They don't care about 400 people.
Yeah.
They care about 400,000 people.
And now they're trying to get these people that are of these hundreds of thousands of millions of subscribers that are going to get tired of these videos and want to put out the $10 a month to watch it without any commercials. But to me, that's not worth it.
Right.
Because, right, the yellow markers on the timeline show, like, when the commercial is going to pop up. Right?
Yep.
Yep. And I can even watch it on my TV because I have a smart TV at home, and it's just, that one's easier because you skip it in 5 seconds no matter what the advertisement is. But my question is, how many advertisements of the same movie, same website building website is too much? Like, when do you say, okay, you know what, I've had enough, I'm not watching anything on this right now, you know?
It's interesting. I always feel like, well, it's a lot. I feel like people are going to always want to watch these videos. Mm-hmm. They haven't hit that breaking point yet. So what you're talking about is, at what point are you going to hit your max threshold where people are going to say, you know what, I'm done with YouTube. I'm going to go find something else because I'm sick of all these advertisements. It's going to start to feel like actual TV, which was commercials every 10-minute block. You know, 7 minutes of TV, 3 minutes of commercials,
it's,
or six.
It's already worse on YouTube, though.
It's
kind of like what happened to Hulu.
And it's, mm-hmm. and it's weird because now they even, like, if you're watching it on a computer, you're actually, they give you a chance to do a thumbs up or a thumbs down. Literally hit thumbs down every time for Pacific Rim. And it's still, I'm like, okay, you guys aren't, either one, aren't paying attention, or two, don't give a flying, whatever.
In those algorithms, they don't care about the thumbs down because they're not trying to tailor it to you. So Google already has everything they want to know about you. They know your age. They know your browsing patterns. They know what websites you're on, what websites you aren't on. Mm-hmm. They know what videos you're watching. YouTube will go, if you look in actually Google's database, they will say, all right, Denial Night Sky.
Nice guy.
Yeah, close.
Denial Night Sky. I think you're a nice guy.
Ding.
Ding. They will say, you know, he's Caucasian male, under 40, likes such and such channel, such and such channel.
Long Island iced teas and walks on the beach.
Yes. Most likely is going to be wanting to see this advertiser. And then there's a competition of advertisers. So within Google, there's a bidding system for advertisers for how much money you want to pay Google for people to click on your thing.
I mean, I can see them.
So that's why movies always are the first ones to show up.
And I can see why they would put Pacific Rim, because it is kind of in that same genre, the same demographic as me watching, you know, a gaming channel.
Yep.
Where they're either playing video games or they're playing board games or whatever the case may be.
That's just it.
So I can see it, but it's like,
it sucks,
for,
right?
For the love of everything that's holy, you can seriously show me more than just Pacific Rim. I know there's other movies coming out. Like, I would totally watch the whole Venom one again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, over and over again. That's fine.
Yep.
But Pacific Rim is like, I have no interest in this movie now.
But with the bid process on Google's end, Google is getting more money for people who click and watch through Pacific Rim per 15-second clip.
Right.
Than Venom, than Let's Make a Website.
Okay.
Then whatever else.
Right. Do you think that ever works, like, in their, not in their favor though, when they just completely overwhelm a viewer with a certain trailer? Do you think that has a negative impact on the movie?
That's what I'm wondering. It's because, I mean, it is, I guess it would be such a small demographic, you know, in the bigger, in the broader picture, because, like, how many people are actually, you know.
It's a good question. There's a good chunk of the population who's going to get sick of it. But at the end of the day, you're not replacing YouTube. I'm sorry.
That's Topicocalypse. Catch them today on the Topicocalypse channel on Podbean, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, and also selected episodes on the Pop Culture Cosmos channel. We'll be right back with more of the PCC Multiverse.
Get ready for Kitty Origins Evolutions, the latest documentary from Rob McCallum. Generously peppered with archival footage shot by the band, this film gives you an honest and brutal look at what it takes to survive in the music industry. Order the DVD, Blu-ray, and live CD triple pack that features recordings from throughout their 20-year illustrious history from RobMcCallumFilms.com. RobMcCallumFilms.com, your place for awesome stories about awesome people and films worth watching.
And we are back once again with the PCC Multiverse. Just want to make sure and let you know our shows are being streamed 7 days a week on online radio stations and that we deliver 2 brand new shows covering the latest in pop culture every Monday and Friday to Apple Podcasts or over 30 different podcast networks. Just subscribe to any one of them on the Pop Culture Cosmos channel to get all the great stuff that's going on there, all the great shows that we're adding on to it as well. And just check out the Pop Culture Cosmos Facebook page for our entire radio schedule and a list of those podcast networks. And remember, for the best flavor out there for your cooking, check out the WheelieQ sauces, rubs, and seasonings on WheelieQ.com. And remember, if you order there, use the bonus code POD2, that's POD2, and you'll get an extra 15% off your order. Josh, you've got a great thing going on with Humanica Media. Keep us in the know, man. What's going on with Humanica Media?
We have a brand new episode of... actually, I don't know if there's a new... Oh, brand new episode of Topicocalypse that just dropped about Sports Fanatic. No? Yes. No, cover songs. Okay, that's what we're looking for, cover songs. So if you... We talk about all the greats is inspired by Daniel's obsession with that Bad Wolves cover of the of Zombie by the.
Oh, Grand. That is horrible. I just, my gosh, I cannot believe they did that just after her death, too. That was just, it's just awful.
I don't know why everybody likes it so much.
But... It is just, it's terrible. I don't usually not really want to say bad things about anything, but that I hear it all the time on SiriusXM. It is awful, and the bad thing about it is that it's charting up each and every week.
Yeah, it's overplayed quite a bit. I talked about how I like the David Bowie, the Under Pressure cover by My Chemical Romance and The Used. That was always really good. But anyways, we have a new Super BS. My God of War review goes up on the Super BS Gamescast tonight, so you can definitely check that out. And then a new Inside Sports dropped earlier today as well.
And as a Monkees fan, I will tell you, Smash Mouth makes a great rendition of I'm a Believer. So I'll say that cover song is definitely one that people need to listen to going back a few years ago. But be that as it may, you can check out all the great stuff today on humanicamedia.com. Josh, you want to talk about certain things going on in the music industry, whether you want to call it a disturbing trend or something that's really going on that needs to be addressed. We're back at it again. We've talked about this subject before when it comes to video games and also streaming television. Now it's hitting the music industry. Over the past year, it has, with some very notable deaths in regards to mental health. So, Josh, I know you wanted to take some time to talk about it. So please share us your thoughts, especially with a recent death that has touched you specifically and that you wrote about on our popculturecosmos.wordpress.com site.
Yeah, so I kind of mentioned this. You can check out the article on the on our website, but this is kind of the first time. So Scott Hutchison of Frightened Rabbit, I don't know if you're a fan of the band. I've always been a huge fan of them. They haven't released, his cause of death, but the speculation is that he killed himself. He jumped off a bridge and killed himself. But and this is kind of the first time that I have been hit by something like this, because you have all these singers out there who are pouring their hearts out to, let people know that, singing about mental health, singing about stuff the thing about Frightened Rabbit is that he sang about this stuff. Like, he sang about mental health and wanting to kill himself and like being depressed and not being able to get over love and his uncertainties with God and stuff. And he sang about all this stuff. He poured his heart out into these songs. That's what allowed people to connect with him. Like, this is the reason this hit me so hard was, like, you have Chester Bennington, Layne Staley, Chris Cornell. Like, I love these guys and I really like their music, but I never connected with them as human beings. Like, when their stuff comes on the radio, I think back on them and I tell myself, I'm like, it's too bad what happened to those guys. But with Scott Hutchison, like, it was weird because, like, I have been following this guy for a long time and I connected with him because he sang about stuff that, like, I have experienced. So when I found out that he died, it kind of hit me and put me in a weird place, because it kind of made me, we're experiencing this thing where everybody's singing about these things and everyone's like, oh yeah, it's good lyrical content, but they're not really like hearing the struggle of the singers. So like, when Scott Hutchison, for example, goes off and he does this to himself, we don't think that maybe he's helping us, but maybe somebody needs to help him. And that's the real shame, is that we still, as a society, we still can't talk about mental health. We can't. It's so misunderstood. Like, for example, like, I had a conversation with somebody in my family about this, and they just didn't understand. They just kept saying, like, why can't you just be happy? Why can't you just, why do depressed people feel the need to kill themselves? Why don't they just stop feeling that way? And it's not that simple. Like, it really is something that grabs you, and you don't know when it's going, you don't know when it's going to hit you. Sometimes you already have it, but you don't know when it's going to get bad. Like, for example, you've heard of Ned Vizzini, right? Who wrote It's Kind of a Funny Story. So he is, he was an author who went through all this stuff, and he, you know, It's Kind of a Funny Story is kind of a fictionalized version of his time in a mental hospital. And he talks about how, you know, the stuff he went through, the people he met, and how, like, he found hope by basically being in a community of people who felt like him. It's like, and that's what it goes to show you. Like, it really helps to know that you're not alone in this, in these types of things. But, you know, he wrote these books, and he held clinics, and he reached out to fans personally trying to help them get through these kinds of things. And in the end, not even he was able to overcome it, because he threw himself off of a building. You know, same thing, Scott Hutchison, like, he sang about this stuff. He wore his heart on his sleeve. His family knew about all this stuff, and he did his best to try to be on the same page with people and help them out. And even in the end, he couldn't do anything about it. And I think what this goes to show is that we need to have a conversation about mental health. We need to, there's a lot going on in the musical community, the entertainment community. We need to have a conversation about this that doesn't seek to monetize it. We need to have an honest conversation that doesn't involve, you know, social media likes and stuff like that. And until we can make this an important topic that people are not afraid to talk about, and people are tiptoeing around it mostly, but like, that doesn't have a Netflix show that just comes in like bulldozes the whole thing. Until we're able to have that as a society, you know, it's just, I feel like it's going to continue to get worse.
And you see how it has affected, for instance, you know, with the deaths, like you said, of not only Chester Bennington, but Scott Weiland, you know, and the list is just goes on and on and on. I know that personally, the Stone Temple Pilots, you know, the band has been hit twice with such, you know, harsh realities of life and in regards to this as well. But let me ask you this. Does this trend, do you think, start off with the signature unfortunate passing via suicide by Kurt Cobain? Did he, in an unknowing way or in an unfortunate way, maybe start something in regards to, because there have been artists over the years in the 60s, 70s, and even 80s that did take their life via suicide, but it wasn't until maybe Kurt Cobain actually took his life that it really seemed to take it to a different level.
I mean, I'm sure there are. I don't think like that's the case with like Chester Bennington, Chris Cornell, Scott Hutchison. I don't think it's the case there, but okay, here's a weird one. There is a Norwegian metal band, and I forget what they're called, but like, they have singers, and they go through I think is like 5 years as a singer of this band, and then they go and on stage they commit ritualistic suicide, and that's what keeps people stoked about the music. So each singer wears a piece of the old singer's skull around their neck. So I think, yeah, I'm sure there are people who, you know, like you said, back then, who did that stuff just because it helped. They're like, yeah, I want to go out on top, or I want to make a spectacle of myself.
Because I know Chris Cornell dying and him passing away was really something that affected me, because I was such a fan of Soundgarden and the music that they provided to an audience. Plus also Scott Weiland was, you know, with STP. I mean, I love a lot of their stuff as well.
Right. And it kind of, yeah. And I know he'd had a drug problem for a while, and that was always a point of tension with the band, but he, a lot of these guys, I feel like they're reaching out for help and nobody's helping them.
Well, you can even go back as far as, you know, like I said, some of the 60s groups, as far as had that issue. Michael Hutchins from INXS, infinitely talented, just a group that really charted and was one of the top bands of the 80s. and could have evolved into something even more in the 90s and beyond. It could have been one of those transcendent groups like we see today with U2 and some others that are still able to go ahead and tour to this day and still be effective and be well known out there. He took his life, I believe, and you know, obviously he took his life, and look what happened there as far as another iconic artist. It just, like you said, there is a problem that I don't think is being addressed.
Right. And I think that the circumstances are different for each person. Like, obviously, Scott Weiland, I think Lane Staley, too, to some extent, had issues with drugs. But like Chris Cornell, Chester Bennington, Scott Hutchison, like these were all guys who just, they put their hearts out there for people, and nobody, the signs were all there, but you know, they're people's icons. So nobody really stopped to question what was going on with them, I guess, in their personal lives. In the statement released by Scott Hutchison's family, they said that they knew he'd always been struggling with this, and they admired how he was able to fight it and get through it. But like, you know, it's a light switch, man. You don't know when you're always experiencing it, but you don't know when it's going to push you to that point where you're like, I can't do this anymore. And that's the most terrifying thing about it. And it makes me wonder, like, even if people were to have conversations about this, would it be able to do anything? Because unless you've experienced it, there's no way for you to truly fathom what this is.
Exactly. But one of the people are now actually with 13 Reasons Why and some other things that are going on are trying to affect, well, Sasuna's sacrifice for one, as far as the video game industry, but also as well, things like what's one of the most popular hip hop songs that have come out in the past year is the actual hotline number for suicide prevention. So there are some small steps being taken to try and talk about this problem or bring it out to the forefront. But I don't think there's enough being done to bring this out into the light and try and give people the true best help that they can get.
13 Reasons Why is kind of a train wreck, though. That was pure publicity. Like they,
but it did bring the actual conversation out as far as, you know, I know, for instance, you and I, we talked about it on our show as far as, you know, how it affected you in such a negative fashion.
Yeah, right. But it also like makes, what it did was kind of glorify it, though. It made it feel like it was an accessory. So now you have, you go out to like Barnes & Noble and stuff, and you see all these like young adult novels talking about suicide, depression, and you see these kids running around and they wear it like it's some kind of accessory when it's not. It's something that shouldn't be bulldozed like that. And if 13 Reasons Why was really sincere about it, they wouldn't have made a second season, if that makes sense. But like, that's not here or there, but like, it is something that needs to be talked about. It needs to be done in a fashion that doesn't make it look like someone's trying to monetize it or get YouTube or Instagram or Facebook likes off of it. It needs to just be something that people are able to talk about comfortably. And without, you know, someone going, oh my gosh, you're asking this question, you need to go to therapy, like that. It just needs to be, people need to be able to talk about it comfortably. And we are not currently at a point where we can do that.
Well, one of the things that is being done is actually by yourself, and that you're actually detailing it out there for the world. You're putting a lot out there as far as your own opinions on this subject. There's a lot of great blogs that you have made that are available on popculturecosmos.wordpress.com. That's not a pitch. It's not a sales thing or anything like that. It's just you sharing your thoughts out there. And I think a lot of people should actually take a read on it because they can get a better idea of what's going on. And maybe they can relate it to something that they're dealing with as well in regards to mental health. And I do want to make sure that everybody knows out there, if you have an issue or you have a concern about yourself or a loved one in regards to mental health or possible suicidal thoughts or tendencies, the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, their phone number is 1-800-273-8255. They're there every day, 24 hours a day, because mental health doesn't wait for anything or anyone. And if you need help or you know someone who does, please call that number, 1-800-273-8255. I know this is supposed to be a light show. We talk a lot about pop culture stuff, but these are issues that do come into the forefront, not only when it concerns streaming and television, but also as well video games within the past year. Any final thoughts on this, Josh, as far as for what you want to express to people out there in regards to this mental health issue as it relates to the music industry?
Yeah, I mean, not so much as it relates to the music industry, but like, honestly, if you know somebody who is suffering from depression, don't berate them. Don't, you know, in any fashion, I guess, bully them in any way, but like, let them know they're loved.
Or don't joke at it with them too. Don't, you know, take it seriously. Take it as is, because it could be lead to a bigger issue, correct?
Right. And like, I had, you know, growing up, I had a lot of friends like, you need to stop being such an emo kid all the time. Like, that didn't help. But don't try to like pry into a conversation with them. Don't try to pry into their lives. They will open up to you in time, but just let them know that they're loved and that you're there for them. Because trust me, knowing that you're not alone can make all of the difference.
That is correct. And you know, if you're out there, again, if you need help, or you know someone that does, reach out, talk to them, try and see if you can find some kind of middle ground as far as an answer is concerned. Or like I said, call that number for the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, 1-800-273-8255. What are your thoughts out there on mental health and the music industry? Have you been affected by all the terrible deaths and the terrible suicides that have taken place, not only recently within the past year, 2 years, but also in the past to major artists as well? Share us your thoughts, popculturecosmos@yahoo.com. Also as well, you can send us a message via popculturecosmos, GameSource, or Humanica Media on Facebook and Twitter as well. When we come back, we're going to be talking about a lot of video game delays that have happened over the past few days, but why are they happening? We're going to delve a little bit deeper into them and talk a little bit about the business of video games when it comes to these delays. This is the PCC Multiverse.
If you're tired of sifting through flea markets for rare and unique games, we can help. Retro City Games in Henderson, Nevada, only 5 minutes from the Las Vegas Strip, has all your favorite gaming staples, classics, and a wide selection of rare games with new stuff always appearing on our shelves. Come in and chat with Nicole or Doug about your love of games and watch as they help you complete your collection or find your childhood favorite. And don't forget, Retro City Games loves trade-ins. So if you have any Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Sega, Xbox, PlayStation, or even PC games, come in and visit Retro City Games today. Welcome to the new metropolis of gaming, Retro City Games.
We are the Metal Geeks Podcast, and on this show we have heavy metal, comic books, video games, movies, theme parks, and more.
Wait, comics?
Yep.
And movies?
Exactly.
Video games?
Yeah.
Metal?
Of course.
How does theme parks fit in this?
It just does. All of us Metal Geeks can be found at MetalGeeks.net.
At Metal Geeks for Twitter.
Metal Geeks on Instagram.
And Metal Geeks on the Facey Space. You can also find us on iTunes. Subscribe today.
Metal Geeks!
And we're back to close out the show. This is the PCC Multiverse. This is Gerald coming right back at you with Josh right here. Thanks so much to the guys from Topicocalypse, including you, Josh, for sharing your thoughts on YouTube today. Josh, before we head on out, we've got to talk about all these video game delays that have happened over the past few days, because in a lot of cases, these video game companies are reporting these to their shareholders and to the press, as far as not only with their yearly and quarterly earnings, but they're kind of sliding in, well, this game's, you know, we made this much, but we're not going to have this game when we said we're going to have it. It's going to come out on this year or this month, or it's going to be pushed back to here or there. So I will say that game that 2K was going to be coming out with, a AAA game, which was either BioShock or Borderlands 3, that has been delayed. Metro Exodus has been delayed. Ubisoft's new pirate game, Skull and Bones, that has been delayed as well. Shenmue 3, that reimagining of that classic game that got, well, actually, I think it's the largest, or it's the most supported game on Kickstarter, that has been delayed. That's a lot of games, man. I think there's probably more to come before E3 hits. So I ask you, man, what are your thoughts on all these games getting delayed? what's the deeper meaning behind all these games getting pushed back to 2019 and beyond?
I think that they're probably under a lot of pressure. You know, I'm glad Metro Exodus is one, despite getting delayed, I know that they're still working on it. It's not one that's in danger of being canceled because it is going to be at E3, and I will be able to, I'm going to be that game out. So
I know excited. You were excited about that. Yeah, I'm going to go see Metro Exodus. I'm going to go get to see Metro Exodus. And it gets delayed.
Well, here's the thing with that, though, is that, like, it was last year at E3. It was really Xbox's only like big title that was being shown off. And, you know, we know that it still exists. So that's something. As for 2K's game, and we've seen concept footage of what we think is a Borderlands game. And there's been whispers of a new BioShock game, but they haven't officially announced either of them. And Randy Pitchford, he has a lot of people pretty pissed off. Borderlands 3, what, it's been like 5 years now since the pre-sequel came out. And there's a lot of people who are really upset. They want to see Borderlands. They want proof. They want to see footage that it's actually being worked on, but they won't say anything. And I know, like, in tweets, the people who work there have come out and say, yeah, it's in development. We're currently working on it. But, you know, even if that is the game being delayed, they need to put something out there. They need to put out a trailer. They need to put out just, even if it was just a logo saying coming 2019 or 2020, just to give the fans some goodwill, because we're going to get to a point where we're so tired of hearing about this mythological game that nobody's going to want to play it when it comes out. And that is the worst thing that a video game could have happen to them. As for BioShock is such a legendary franchise that people won't care. It's the moment that logo pops up on the screen at like E3 or GDC or PAX or whatever, people are going to lose their minds over it.
Right. The last entry in the BioShock series, BioShock Infinite, may be considered one of the prettiest games of the last generation, but it didn't quite match up as far as the sales are concerned to what the production value and the actual video game represented as far as a quality or a consuming experience is concerned. I think that maybe there's an apprehension there. I think it's going to be a Borderlands game that's going to be coming out. If it is a BioShock game, I won't be dissatisfied with either, but I think Borderlands is a safer bet to come out, and that's the one I think that's going to be released in 2019.
BioShock is a very volatile series because the first two were great just because they were terrifying. The third one kind of dove a lot into social themes, and not that that's a problem. Like, look at Wolfenstein did that really well, and that Wolfenstein 2 became one of the most socially conscious and well-accepted games of last year. But with Infinite, they kind of did they went a weird route where the social theme overpowered the gameplay. And I think that's what a lot of people either liked or didn't like. Whereas BioShock 1 and 2, you can just kind of dive into it. And despite the themes in that game, people were excited just to see what it was and see what the story with like Atlas Ryan and stuff like that. Like, that was, the social themes were undertones, whereas in Infinite, the social themes were the game. And so that was I think that's one of the dangers of things like that. And it was good. I liked it. I'm in the middle of it right now. And I actually just never got around to playing it until, like a month ago. So I've been diving in and out of it. And I love it, but I think Borderlands is like the safer bet because that's a game that people, there is a huge hype train around the Borderlands series right now. And the more that they wait to put that game out, the less and less hype that is going to be revolving around that game. So they need to either put it out or just tell fans that it's not going to happen, because the fear here, just for me reading the boards and all that, is that Borderlands is going to be a microtransaction driven game, and that's what people don't want. So they need to come out and just like make all these fears go away for people. So I think that will help keep them going into whatever the next phase of their development cycle is, instead of like having this worry that we're going to have to keep paying for things over and over again to get it.
I agree with you, and especially the microtransaction issue, because that has become a hotly contested issue. The loot boxes still are there. I know there's been several instances where recently video game developers and video game publishers have had to tell consumers whether or not there's going to be loot boxes or microtransactions in their games that are coming up, because I know that for a lot of gamers is a highly contentious point of conjecture when it comes to whether or not they want to go ahead and purchase the game. So that's definitely something to keep in mind there. But I realize that with these earning calls that they make to their shareholders, and they try to slip in the fact that these games are being delayed as they're announcing their huge profits, their huge gross dollars and all that. The fact is that even though the shareholders themselves are not as concerned in regards to what they're hearing when they hear that a game's been delayed, as long as it's something that they may not be able to be as familiar with, let's say a Red Dead Redemption 2 slides again into 2019, that would be a bigger concern, but that looks to be right on point for an October release. What the bigger issue is here is this going to affect the actual games themselves and their popularity with gamers because of continual delays? And all of them have the excuse that, oh, we're working on it to get more polish on it, to get it more polished for release, and we just need more time to polish the game. And if I hear the word polish one more time when it concerns a video game, I tell you what, I think I'm going to scream, because it just is, it doesn't fly with consumers or gamers anymore. That word, let's polish the game, we're going to polish the game even more. I've heard polish so many times recently that I feel like I'm actually hearing more about car wax than I am actually video games as far as what we're talking about.
Yeah, look at Scalebound. How many times they say that was being polished, and then they're like, okay, game's not coming out anymore. And it's just like, that was it. And you didn't hear anything more about that. So nothing is ever set in stone with video games until you get a release date or you actually get the game in your hands. And that's what's very sad about the state of the industry these days.
And enough of the quote unquote polish, and just basically, like you said, just throw out a logo, throw out a trailer, keep the gamers satiated and satisfied that a quality product will be coming out sometime in the near future. What are your thoughts on all these video game delays? Are you cool with it because you want a better product? In the past, Josh and I have said that as well, that, oh, it's okay for the delay because, you know, they're going to come out with a better product. But now it's happened so many times, we are both kind of getting concerned about it. Are you as well? Share us your thoughts, popculturecosmos@yahoo.com. Also as well, Popculture Cosmos, Humanica Media, and Game Source on Facebook and Twitter as well. So Josh, it's been a great episode. On our Monday show, we're going to recap everything that went on this weekend with Deadpool 2 and so much more. Any last thoughts on our way out?
Yeah, back to the topic we were discussing earlier. If you haven't had a chance, check out Frightened Rabbit's music, because if you are going through things like that, like if it can do for you what it did for me, I think that you won't regret pressing play on a few of those.
And again, one last time, and I think this should be said as much as possible when regards to talking about mental health. If you have any type of issues, suicidal thoughts, or know someone who does that you truly care about, that you've spoken to, or you want to give out more love to, and you need a resource or an outlet to go to, please call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255 any time of the day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, because there are experts there that can truly help and provide maybe a better understanding of what's going on with not only yourself or someone you love. So for Josh Peterson, this is Gerald Glassford. It's another beautiful day right here in the PCC Multiverse. We thank you for listening. And here's hoping you have yourself a great day.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.